All right, so the Ron, you have the Ron? You have the Ron over there? Yep.
My reaction of the Ron.
Yeah, this one was the Ron. The piece I quoted was from the Ron. Yeah, the Ron goes through at length. I mean, like I said the other day, I'll be showing them all go at length through all of these cases. But just to clarify, something we were discussing a little bit yesterday and the day before, and Matt pointed out we made a mistake about it. That is the question of we'll take two at once over here. In other words, we don't have in the Mishnah, what was the case we said was missing? Your wife's brother, right? Huh?
Oh.
Right? It's not in the Mishnah.
Yeah.
Your wife's brother. Right? And yesterday we were discussing, Aaron was asking, yesterday examples of cases that are not in the Mishnah because they don't have Bonim and Chasanim. Right? So the Ron goes through it very deeply, but just Bekitzer, I think it works out like this. Let's take for instance the case of an uncle. Doesn't matter which uncle. Let's say your father's brother, for just arbitrarily. Right? So that... Oh, you haven't been here. Okay. So that is in the Mishnah, right? Acheav is in the Mishnah. And therefore, Acheav are going to be Aser. They're going to be apostle for you. Your uncle is apostle to you. And his children are going to be apostle to you. Right? Since your father's brother is in the Mishnah, it's going to get the rule of and his sons and sons-in-law. Okay? Which are to you cousins. Right? But the Mishnah doesn't say your brother's son. Right? The Mishnah does not say your brother's son.
Father's brother.
Huh?
It says father's brother.
It says your father's brother, which we know is the same, the opposite, the inverse of your father's brother is your brother's son. Father gets replaced with son.
I mean, brother's...
Huh?
Achiv and Benav.
One second. So, the father's, so the brother's son is what?
Oh yeah, you could have heard it from Achim Beno.
Achim is in the Mishnah and it says Ubana.
Right. But there's no Bonim of this one.
Oh, that's true.
Of who?
Of... your nephew's children.
Except for the
right,
case.
Sammy.
Oh, right, definitely.
You would have been limited.
Your nephew's
right.
Right. In the Mishnah.
Because the Mishnah doesn't say
nephew
specifically.
Right.
You only know nephew from brother and his son.
Right.
So the point is like this. Just
your nephew's children are apostle, then.
What?
Your nephew's children are apostle, then.
That's exactly the point.
Right.
In other words, here is an equivalent relationship. Uncle and nephew are equivalent. Right? To be an uncle means you have a nephew. In this, let's say, male-dominated subject. Okay? So, but the Mishnah specifically says uncle and doesn't say nephew. Why? Is that coming from inside this room?
No way.
It's back.
It sounds like it's coming from outside.
Open the window.
See
this.
Close the window.
Sorry.
So, oh, we're talking about you now. So, nephew is not mentioned in the Mishnah, right? Why? Why is uncle mentioned in the Mishnah and not nephew? Because of the rule, whoever is in the Mishnah has children and sons-in-law who are also apostle to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what the Ron was showing. So it says uncle, why? Because then it will include cousins. Because if we apply to uncle children, that includes cousins.
Mm-hmm.
But if it would have said nephew, that would have included the nephew's children. But the nephew's children are not apostle to you. Okay? Okay, now... and that is also why it doesn't have to say your brother's, your wife's brother, because we already get wife's brother. And the children, how do we get the wife's brother's children? Right?
That's the tricky one.
So you get that because it's your mother's brother. Your mother's brother's... your mother's... what's that?
Your father's sister's
your
husband.
Father's... No, your father... Your father's... No.
Wife's brother's no. husband?
No, let's say I want to know my wife's... Well, maybe you're right. Let me see. My wife's brother's... Is that the case you're looking for?
Son.
Children. Right, so then it's your father's...
Sister's...
Husband.
Sister's husband. Right? Now that's in the Mishnah.
Yes.
So it's there.
Oh, that's good, that's good.
That's the case Rashi says, is only you get from
that's the one that Rashi says you only get from inverting the thing. Can I get that again? Because I don't know if I got that straight. Your, who is it? Your wife's
brother's
son. Kid. Okay? So that means your father.
His father.
Sister.
Sister's.
Husband.
Husband.
Father.
Your father's sister's husband is the same as your wife's brother's son.
Yeah.
It's the opposite.
And that's definitely in there. Father's
and that's definitely
husband.
In there.
Yeah, there's still
aunt and uncle.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now let's just review some term. Let's just go over some terminology, okay? Let's go over terminology here. So let's take brothers. Because it's important to get certain terminology straight. The way that we consider, the way we count relations, the way we define relations is this terminology, Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, right? So, there's one thing that's not intuitive. And that is... that you can have relationships that are uneven. You can have like a Rishon to a Shlishi, or a Rishon to a Sheni, which doesn't sound strange to us. Okay, so let me just explain how this works. Okay, so what do we have? We have brothers are considered what?
Rishon
to Rishon. So why are brothers Rishon to Rishon? Matt, you want to tell us the rule? Because the way we count, yeah, go ahead.
How many... generations you have to go back to get to a common
correct.
Ancestor.
How many generations you have to go back to get to a common ancestor? So two brothers, let's say these are the brothers, they're one step away from each other. Those they're one step from their common ancestor. So how are they related? Through one step up. So they are Rishon to Rishon. To each other, they relate back through one step. That makes sense?
So each of those is referring to how many steps there are from the common party.
Exactly. So he's a Rishon from the common party, he's a Rishon from the common party. Now their children are Shani to Shani.
So it's not referring to generation at all.
Right. It's referring to how far back they each one have to go to get to the one that joins them. So cousins are called Shani B'Shani. Why? Because each cousin has to go up to the to their particular father, back to the common father. That's a two steps for each one. But an uncle and a nephew would be considered a Rishon to a Sheni. Because for the uncle to get back to the point that he joins his nephew, he only has to go up to his father, but the nephew has to go to his grandfather. So the nephew is a nephew to an uncle is a Rishon to a Sheni. Right? And like we mentioned before, the nephew to his great grand, the uncle to his great grand to his grandnephew, right, would be a what? Let's say there was another guy here. A Rishon to a Shlishi. That's mutter already. Rishon to Shlishi is already outside.
That's the first one. That's the first allowable level.
That right. That is too distant.
And why? Why is that?
We'll have to get into that. I'm just telling you factually. Shani to Shlishi, Rishon to Shlishi. Those are okay.
Is that we're saying the rule is, or just because that happens
that's
to
the
refer
halacha.
To the first one that's...
That's the rule. That's the halacha.
Which one?
Rishon and Shlishi.
Rishon to Shlishi.
Any relationship that's Rishon to Shlishi is already too far.
Okay.
Okay.
So I have a grandson and an uncle?
That's right. So the grandson, to get to his uncle, the grandson has to go up to his grandfather, right?
Well, actually, a grandson and a son.
The grandson has to go up to his great-grandfather. Right? That was the case I just showed you. This case.
His grandson and a son.
Here, this case. Let's say there was another guy here.
Grandson is a sheenie.
Well, whatever. Don't use those terms. Nephew, it's a great-nephew. That's the relationship you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right? Great-nephew.
Brother's grandson.
So the first son is a Rishon.
He's a Rishon to this fork in the tree.
Right.
And he's a 1, 2, 3 to that fork in the tree. So he's a Shlishi to a Rishon.
So the Shlishi is the great.
It's a great grandson.
Yes.
Right.
To their common ancestor. He's the son, and he's the great grandson.
Son and the great grandson.
Right.
Right.
You say
like my great nephew.
No, you can't. If it's a grandson, it's Mutter.
I mean, you're referring to different people.
So my great grandson and son. Where are you gonna know that son? Obviously,
great grandson
right?
and son. No,
right.
Like my great, my grand nephew, Yoni, Rachel's son.
Okay.
It's my father's great grandson.
Father's great grandson, right?
my great
so,
nephew.
Oh, so Yoni.
So I could be made
Yoni
for him.
Right.
He could be made for me, and I could be made for him.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, either one.
Right.
Now
Shane
here's
goes
where.
One more.
Now here's where we test your knowledge of the terminology.
Right.
If Rishon and Shlishi are kosher, what is that? What would you say about Shani and Shlishi?
Kol Shekane.
It's a Kol Shekane.
We say
it. If Rishon and Shlishi are kosher. Then, what about Shani and Shlishi? Are they closer to Rishon and Shlishi, or are they further from Rishon and Shlishi?
Further. That's
further.
Five steps.
Further. Even though their numbers are closer, because 1 and 3 is closer than... 2 and 3 is closer than 1 and 3.
Isn't Shani and Shlishi sometimes the same thing as Rishon and Shani, though?
I don't think so.
What about Shani and Shlishi?
I was thinking Shani and Shlishi.
Is Shani and Shlishi one?
Shani and Shlishi is no good.
So four steps.
So four,
let's take four steps. Four is the amount of
steps. Four
that
steps.
No
more than that. There has to be at least one that's three.
Okay, don't universalize from these rules.
Well, found them very
but if two and two doesn't work, two and two doesn't work, right? What two and two is a Karov?
What's two and two?
Two and two is a Karov.
Shani and Shani.
Shani
cousins
Shani.
Are possible.
That's a Karov.
That's possible, right?
Oh, okay, you're
that's
right.
Your cousin.
Three.
That's your cousin.
Now, what were you saying,
one's
Matt?
One's at three.
Okay. Okay, so let's finish the Mishnah. Let's finish the Mishnah. Go ahead. Amar Rabbi Yossi.
Amar Rabbi Yossi. Zu Mishnas Rabbi Akiva. About Mishnah Rishona, Dodo Ben Dodo, V'chol HaRoi LiYorsho, V'chol HaKarov Lo Ba'Osasha HaYakarov.
Let's stop with the Kol HaKarov. Let's go. We'll stop with Ben Dodo, V'chol HaRoi LiYorsho. Okay, go ahead.
Dodo is uncle?
Dodo is uncle.
To the Rashi?
Yeah.
So, v'chol roi liyorsho, dehainu krove ha'av.
Let's be careful here now. So, in other words, this is the Mishnah Rishona. I'm sorry. This is the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva. Everything we've done up till now is the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
But the Mishnah Rishona was different. What did the Mishnah Rishona teach? Only very few cases. Dodo uben dodo. Your uncle and your cousin and everyone who's roi to inherit. Right? V'chola roi liyorsho. Everyone, what does it mean yorsho? Everyone that he will inherit from. Right? There's a yoresh and a morish. The yoresh means you inherit from them.
Collecting.
Morish means that's the better end of the bargain. That you're giving your, that you are transferring your possessions to him.
The dying party.
In case of...
right? Do we... Ashi, go ahead.
Dehanu krove ha'av. Aval krove ha'im. Kigon achi imo. Kasherlo.
Okay, so Rashi's learning like this. What does it mean, dodo uben dodo, v'chol haroi liyorsho? What's the addition of v'chol haroi liyorsho? It's limiting dodo uben dodo. It's limiting which uncles and which cousins we're talking about. It's the uncles and the cousins that you will inherit from. Okay? That means the father's brother, but not the mother's brother.
What if your mother's side didn't have any boys and you were going to inherit or something?
You won't inherit. I'm going to explain it to you. You will not inherit. Kigon, ache, imo. Can't say that. If you want to say ache imo, you're going to have a... Kigon, ache imo, kashalo. Why? Shaharei eino roi liyorsho. You will not inherit from your mother's brother.
Okay. There's no way you're getting stuff.
Ditanan, ache ha'aim man chilin. Your mother's brother, you can give inheritance to. Velo nochalin, but you will not receive inheritance from. Okay, so let's just do a quick rules of inheritance. Ready? Chaim?
Yes.
Okay. So what are the quick rules of inheritance? How does inheritance go? So it goes like this. Let's do, let's have Yitzchak in the middle.
Starts with death.
Yitzchak in the middle. So his father is Avram. Okay, fine. And he has a brother, Yishmael, right, I'm sorry. Yishmael. Now, so how does it go? So if Yitzchak dies without children, his inheritance will go to his father. That's the rule of inheritance. Okay? So if there are no children, the father inherits. If the father is not alive, it's mishamesh. It goes up to the father, no father alive, back down to his brother.
Is that because that's who would inherit the father?
Yes. Okay. Now, if he has a son, it'll go to his son. If he has daughters, it'll go to his daughters. Okay? But basically, brothers inherit because it goes up through the father. It always goes up. It looks down first. If there's a child down, that child gets. If there's no child down, it's mishameshes veholeches. It goes back up to the father. If the father's not there, it'll go back down to who he would give to. Okay? So now, let's say you have our case.
What if there's no brother or father?
Then you go up to the next generation.
The brother has a son and the brother's not around, then it goes to the brother's son.
If there's no father, then we go to the grandfather, and you look for children of the grandfather.
So if there was a sister?
If there was a sister, she would get.
She would get if there's no brother?
Right.
Because the father would give it to her.
Right.
Okay.
Right? No.
If Avram had two kids.
No. Because a daughter doesn't inherit when there's a son.
Oh,
there's no other son.
But the son just died.
Any parent's brother.
Okay, so the point is that your mother's brother could pass an inheritance to you.
Right.
Why? Because your mother and her brother share a father, by definition, right? And so if your uncle dies, your mother's brother, then it would look up, assuming he has no children, it would look up to the father, to their joint father. And if he's not alive, it would come back to your mother. And if she's not alive, it'll come back to you. Okay?
So he could give to you.
But you will never pass money to him.
Right.
Because when the person dies, it always goes to the tzad of the father. Never goes to the tzad of the mother.
So if he could give to you, then he's
kind of? So he says, Kol haroi liyorsho, who can this person inherit from? Krovei ha'av.
Right.
Okay?
So all the people who you could receive from.
Exactly. That's... They are, then you,
I thought we were saying they inherit you.
No.
The Krovei Av.
No.
Yes,
Krovei Av will inherit you. Correct. Krovei Av is a two-way street.
But vice versa, we don't care about
Krovei Av is a two-way street. Right? You'll be Nochil and Manfil.
Right, because you could give
No, as your father's brothers,
right.
You could get from, and you could give to.
Right,
common grandfather through brothers.
The
common
fact
grandfather
that you
through
two,
the patrilineal.
Right.
Hold on, slow down. Let's just get it straight, okay?
Yeah.
So, kol haroi liyarsho. So the mission says, dodo uben dodo, v'kol haroi liyarsho. That's krove ha'av. Okay. That implies krove ha'av. Although krove ha'aim kagon. No, I'm sorry. Let's not parse the words so carefully. Okay, right? Let's just get the idea. Krove ha'av are possible. But krove ha'aim, right? Your mother's brothers. So then they are kosher to testify about you. Okay? Because they will never get anything from you.
Correct.
Okay? But of all who posel ache imo, but he can't testify against his uncle. Shere meyed ze roi liyarsho. So just think about it like this. Think about it like this. Your uncle is going for a really big case. He stands to win $1 million. Okay, can you testify in his behalf?
Should you be really?
Which uncle?
Your mother's brother.
Oh no. And
yes.
Yeah.
You can't testify.
You cannot testify for
no,
him. Why?
You could inherit him.
Because if he wins that $1 million verdict,
oh,
you could get your hands on it.
It's not really your mom.
And your parents' brother, yeah.
You do what you gotta do.
It's not really.
But, huh?
It's not really why.
And then kill him. Then you kill him.
Well.
No?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But can he testify if you're going to get $1 million? You're going for $1 million verdict. Can
yes.
he testify for you?
Yes.
Yes, because he'll never get a part of it.
It actually makes sense in terms of getting inheritance because it's like people definitely suck up to their relatives to get in their wealth.
Isn't that what the Rishonim say exactly? It's not here?
Well, that's the kasha they ask on Rashi. But
you're not here.
Rashi sounds like he's going with an idea of a nogea.
Right?
Rashi sounds like he's going with an idea of a nogea. Okay? So he's saying like this. The Mishnah Rishona had a certain idea of a nogea be'edus. That's what the psul is based on. So therefore, it could be a one-way street. Because it's possible that what happens to my uncle's money is nogea to me, but what happens to my money is not nogea to him.
If you could get the money.
I can't take a part in a case that could result in my getting money.
Right.
Whose case could result in my getting money? Even my mother's brother could result in my getting money. But he could take a part in my case because he'll never get money from that verdict. Because if I win and die, it'll go to the other side.
Right.
And he hates the other side.
The nogea is very specific, though.
Right.
Like, this
right.
is just one small case. It has to be that somehow all those relations in between will be...
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why it's not a regular nogea. No, because the problem is like, if you're going to learn like Rashi, that it has to do with nogea, so we already know nogea. Nogea is an old psul.
Right?
Nogea is an old psul. I can't be made on my own behalf. I can't be made on my father's behalf. That's an old, or on any case that I'm going to, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. I can't be nogea on my own behalf, basically. I can't be made on my own behalf. Didn't we have cases of nogea? Yeah, we had cases like, I can't possel an aid who's testifying against me. Right? Of course, I'm nogea. Okay. So, that's what's difficult over here. How is Rashi pulling in nogea? Sort of like taking the idea of a nogea, but saying that the psukim of relationships are somewhat, are sort of like solidifying lines of nogea.
Also
objectifying some sort of a line of nogea.
Is Rashi, I think, it's also only Dod and...
Yes. Right. And it's limited to those two generations.
Because in theory, you could inherit from someone.
Exactly. Because once you're going to go by a Yerusha idea, like we said before, you can inherit from your 20th cousin.
Right.
Oh, so in theory. Dodin Ben-Dod limits it.
Dodin Ben-Dod limits it.
Wait, how does that limit it?
Because it says only these two
only
generations.
Only
uncles and cousins.
Only uncles and cousins. To get money from.
I thought Ben-Dod was filling in.
It's the generation.
Uh-huh.
In other words, it's the generation of Dodin Ben-Dod, and only those that you could inherit from.
Okay, so we're not going to... So it's limiting us to not go
So
crazy.
Your mother's sister's kids are not included in this.
And are not filled in by Ben-Dod.
Right? Because if your mother's sister's kids died, it would go to their father, which is not your family anymore.
So according to the missionary Shona, at least according to...
Really inverses, correct. Right, so that this undoes the rule of inverses. There's not necessarily an inverse. Because the uncle and the uncle from your mother has no... The inverse does not exist. You can't be made for him, but he could be made for you. Okay. Not a two-way street. So this is what the Rishonim don't like about Rashi. Okay.
The what?
That it's not a two-way street. It's not a two-way street. So let's take. Yeah, you have something to say? Did you say something? But they don't... Right. No, so why don't they like it? Because... I mean, it's because of Svara, of course. So let's take a look at Mugi Yosef. Now, the Mugi Yosef says, "Where's the Mugi Yosef?" Yeah.
Vav,
right. Take a look at the Mugi Yosef. So he says like this. Is it Vav? Right. Pirush Rashi, Lafuki Ache Ha'em, Dein Roi L'Yorsho. Right, so it excludes. What does the Kol HaRoi L'Yorsho come to exclude? The mother's... Well, actually, the whole Mishnah Rishona is different because it's excluding who? The mother's brother. The Kaimalon Ache Ha'em Manchilin V'Lo Nochilin. Awesome. V'Kasu Olav Bina Mefarshim Dimkein Kol HaRoi L'Yorsho Lafuki Mai. Yeah. I know, because they're learning dodo means your brother's your father's brother for some reason. What is the addition of those two things? The ode Ache Ha'em Kevin Shu Yorish Osam Roy Li Yorsho Mikri the Kevin Shu Pasul Lohem Gam Heim Psulim Lo Shekrovo Shneim Shove. See? The time of the royal Liorsho Lav Mishum Negius Edesu El Lefi Sheharuyin Korvason Yisera. So, in other words, they're arguing on the Svar, Yona. You're right. And the idea of Nogeya is not a reversible idea. But they argue, they say, no, this Mishnah is talking about Krovim. It's a Psul of Krovim. It's not a Psul of Nogeya. So, when the Mishnah says the rule of Roy Liorish, that's just defining, that's a method of defining closeness.
Right.
So if I am close to you because I'm Roy to Yorish, then you are equally close to me.
That's enough in Rashi and the Rishonim?
That's right. That's the machlokas, it seems. I mean, the basic machlokas between Rashi and the Rishonim is what's the Mishnah Rishona arguing with Rabbi Akiva. According to Rashi, we have to try to work it out a little more fully. But according to Rashi, the Mishnah Rishona and Rabbi Akiva are having a fundamental machlokas. Is there really such a thing as a psul korov per se? Or is there no new institution of psul korov? It's somewhat of an extension of the psul of Nogea. We have to define it a little bit better, but now that's the way Rashi was learning Mishnah Rishona. The Mishnah Rishona was saying there's no such thing as a Karov, as a psul of a Karov, as a new institution on its own. It really is an objectification of a Nogeya. In other words, normally you'll say Nogeya means an immediate, from the case, an immediate result. The Torah comes along and says, we'll define Nogeya in an objective sense, even though it's not that you have an immediate stake in this case, but
extension.
Right, but you're no geya because his estate you're no geya to via the rules of Yerusha, and this affects his estate, So it's like a more abstract idea of a nogea. Right? It's not in the concrete that you have a stake in the actual outcome of the case directly, that money will be awarded to you or not be awarded to you. But yeah, the nafkamina is you need a pasuk for this new type of an idea of nogea. Because the problem on Rashi is if it's just nogea, why is there, you'll see the Gemara lo yumsu avos habanim at the psukim that we learned this from. So you don't need psukim to tell you a nogea is pasul, right? Right. 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 But according to Rashi, Mishnah Rishona, al pi svara, the addition of krovim is really just sort of like an objectification of an objectified extension of a nogea. That when I say you can't testify in a case that you're nogea to, it doesn't mean only if the outcome, doesn't mean if you have a stake in the outcome immediately, but it even means if you have a stake in the rishus of the baal din. So I can't testify for my uncle, because my mother's brother, because I am nogea to his estate through the dinim of Yerusha. Normally, nogea is through the terms of the case. Here we say it's an extension. It's through the dinim of Yerusha, I can be considered to be a nogea. But the only problem is, why is it capped at dod? See, that's the problem also. So that's what they don't like about Rashi. First of all, they don't like about Rashi that it doesn't say that they hold on the contrary. They hold this whole Mishnah is talking about a new institution of Karov. You want to measure closeness with the barometer of Yerusha? Fine. But once you measured closeness, it's not a relative. We don't employ a relativity over here. Because if you are close to him, he is equally close to you. If I define him to be close to me because I can inherit from him, that was just the method I used to measure. But now I determine that we're close enough, that we're in a certain proximity of each other. If I'm in his proximity, he's in my proximity. So therefore, they don't like the idea that psule krovim could be a one-way street. And secondly, once you're entering into nogea, where does the idea of dodo and ben dodo come in? Right? Right. In other words, exactly what the svara of Rashi is. I think the Yad Ramah has like a few possibilities of what Rashi could be holding. The svara, nogea is one of them. But first, the first order of business is what he's saying factually. Factually, he's excluding from Rabbi Akiva's scheme. Factually, he's only including what. Uncle from your father is pasul to you and you to him, but uncle from the mother, you're pasul to him and he's not pasul to you. Okay? Now there are two other shitas, really. There are two other shitas about what the difference between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Kiva really are. I don't know, maybe we'll just take the more, or just take a, I don't know if you want to go through it in that level of deep, but let's just see the Mugi Yosef. So what does the Mugi Yosef say? So he disagrees. He says, Upirish Hamzal, Dila Mishnah Rishona, Kol Krove Ishus Ksherim Haim. Dilo Mikri Roi Li Yarsho, Elekishehu Yoresh Oso Mamish. Kigon Krove Atzmo. Bain Mina Av, Bain Mina Aim. Masha'enikin krove ishus. She'ena bal zochali olam elamiyad ishto. Shemesa onis garsha ein lo klum. Hilkach ein lcha psulon le mishna rishona ela krove ho'av v'krove ha'em bilvad. So he's learning differently than Rashi. There's no difference between a relative from your father or from your mother. The only issue is, are you related through marriage or not? In other words, Mishnah Rishona is only saying people you would inherit from or inherit to, it doesn't matter, based on your bloodline.
So like your Giso.
Would be out.
Yeah.
But anyone that you could inherit from because through marriage would be excluded. Because that's not really a Yorish. In other words, how do you inherit through marriage? This gets to what you were saying before.
That's just your wife's Yorish.
That's right. In other words, if your wife... That's right. In other words, what's the rule of Yerusha between husband and wife? The husband is Yorish's wife. That's the rule. Okay.
So basically, wherever she would be put in on a Yorish plot, you just write his name in instead.
Right. But in those...
he's still considered like her in terms of if he was in a inheritance situation where there was a brother that was actually the son of her father, he would still be counted as a daughter as opposed to a son.
I don't know. All I heard was brother, son, daughter.
That's why you're saying that if there's a father, then there's a mother.
All right, so let's say your cousin, let's say you have a cousin who's a girl, right? And she's married to, right? So that guy who's married to your cousin could inherit from you via his wife.
Even if she's
better. Or even take simply, right? Brother-in-law. Brother-in-law, right? Take it more simply. Your sister's husband. He could inherit from you via your wife, via his wife.
I can't inherit from both spouses.
Oh, so that's excluded. So Rabbi Yossi would exclude that guy. So according to Mishnah Rishona, that guy will be okay.
But is it only if the wife is still alive, if your sister's still alive?
Yeah. But in theory...
He's kind of getting it because she's getting it.
Exactly.
Like going to their household.
That's right. In theory, right, in theory he's going to get it through her. In other words, if a man dies and he leaves a sister, and the sister is married, so then the sister will inherit. And if she dies, then the husband will inherit. Comes out, the husband will inherit through the husband will inherit the sister's brother.
You don't call that Roy.
That's not called Roy. That's what Mishnah Rishon is excluding. Rabbi Kiva holds your brother-in-law is possible to you. Right? Mishnah Rishon says he's not possible to you.
So what's the difference? Is this the same?
Mishnah has a direct...
He's still learning this idea.
In other words, between Rashi and this Mishnah, is according to Rashi, it's possible to have a Karov, to have someone that you inherit from but don't inherit to. And then you'll be possible to them, but they won't be possible to you. According to the second shot and to Muki Yosef, anyone, there's not an Indian of Nogea, it's just an Indian of Karov. If Yerusha goes either to or from, that's a Karov. But it's only Krovim that are blood Krovim. That's only a measure. Yerusha is only a measure of blood Krovim. It doesn't make Krovim. So just because I could inherit to my brother-in-law doesn't make us Krovim. Because he's not truly inheriting from me gufo. That's why I use the term of guf.
He's also learning in addition to Dodin Ben
Dodin?
Otherwise you just exclude brother-in-law because he's not a Dodin Ben Dodin.
Well, that's right. In other words, when it says Dodu Ben Dod, it means your mother's brother and your father's brother. Right. And their kids.
And Kol HaRoi Yarsho?
The Kol HaRoi Yarsho means... I mean, how are they turning and how are they using that phrase?
So he's not going to say addition, right?
Let's see. Right. Mashin ki krove ishus she'ena bal zocha li olam ela miad ishto. Right? Because if the woman died or they got divorced before the other person died, they would never inherit. So you see, it's only through the marriage. But not through their marriages. Right. So that's how it would go. In other words, it wouldn't be your your mother's, it wouldn't be, I don't know why he says min ha'av only. It would also be dodo min ha'im, no? V'itana kol ha'roi li'yosho v'sulo ha'vamina filu rechokun kama kol she'em m'shevet echad. Nachitani dodo. Lomar bina mikol ha'roi li'yosho el madrega zu. V'itana dodo ben dodo l'chud ha'vamina min ha'av lo min ha'im. Right, so as if it would have just said dodo ben dodo, I might have thought just from the father.
Lashon,
I guess. So it had to say call a royal Yarsho. And if it would call a royal Yarsho, it would have gone all the way up.
Right,
yeah.
So